The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
We appreciate the Hemingers. I tell you, they're an integral part of our church, and he's over our Baptist Scout Rangers program and does a wonderful job in helping to train young men. They do camping and fishing and hiking and all sorts of stuff, and it's a wonderful program with him and his workers. Go back to 2 Kings chapter 4, and look at verse 1, where the Bible says, "Now there was a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets," a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha. Now Elisha was the younger prophet of the day. He often followed Elijah around. Oftentimes in your Bible, you'll see that there was Elijah and there was Elisha. The Elisha being the younger prophet, Elijah being the older prophet. So here's this dear woman, and she's coming on to the younger prophet, Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take, watch what it says, take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Now what they would do in the olden days is, let's say that you owed a creditor. Maybe you owed for a car. Maybe you owed, of course, in those days for maybe a camel or maybe a horse or maybe some cattle or something of that nature. And you did not have any money left whatsoever. What they would do is they would come to your house and they would say, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to take your children as bond slaves. And so they would take the children, those children would become bond slaves to pay off the indebtedness, and they would work in another man's household until the indebtedness would be paid for. So they would do servant type of stuff in that particular household. Now notice, if you will, in chapter 4 and verse 2, the Bible says, "And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee?" So he's inquiring, okay, so what do you want? You came to me, and so please tell me what you want. The Bible says, tell me. It says, what is in thine house? And she said, thy handmaiden hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. And he said, go and borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, empty vessels, borrow not a few. And so he's giving her instruction to be able to fill that emptiness in her life. Now don't forget, she's very empty right now. I mean, now some things that happened in her life that has stricken her, that's caused emptiness in her life. And so what takes place? She goes running to the man of God. Man of God gives her biblical counsel to be able to do what she is supposed to do. So watch this, if you will, as we speak this morning on filling emptiness in your life. I remember when my mom and dad went home to be with the Lord. Now, I'll be honest with you. My dad and I became very close after he received Jesus Christ as his Savior. My dear mother departed, of course, leaving him alone as far as her going first in death. And so he was very lonely. And oftentimes I would find myself calling our home number. And it was 410-239-7985. And that was our number as I was growing up in our house, our telephone number. And so oftentimes I'd go to the phone, and I lived in a different state serving the Lord as an assistant pastor, and I would punch in those numbers and I would call my dad. I used to call my dad every Friday night. So I'd call my dad would pick up the phone, and we would have that great father and son chat. And what wonderful times we had of communicating together. But after my dad went home to be with the Lord, you know what? I found myself still on Friday nights, because it was a habit, I'd sit down, I'd punch in those numbers to call my dad, and of course the phone would not answer. Then it just hit me, okay, he's gone. And can I tell you, that was some empty times in my life. My brother just 2 years ago went home to be with the Lord. He had the Wells Electric Company in York, Pennsylvania, had many workers and had a very, very good business. But I remember receiving the phone call that now he had gone home to be with the Lord. And boy, can I tell you how stricken I was on the inside, how lonely I was on the inside for my older brother, Dave, that went home to be with the Lord at age 57. And so there were some lonely times in my life. I remember heading over to the Philippines, as often I will do, to preach national conferences, or to another country to preach a national conference and to be able to help pastors. And I remember the first time I ever went to the Philippines, My, I got on that plane, and I knew I was going to be gone for when I was an evangelist for a lengthy amount of time. And because of that, oh, there was a loneliness that I felt for my dear wife and for my precious children. Now, can I say, you're going to experience some lonely times in your life, some empty times, if you will, in your life. How is it that you could be able to manage that and have a Bible answer as to what to do? Let me give you a couple of things. Statement number one, she was empty in her life. You see that in the scriptures. Look at verse 1 again. We are 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 1. The Bible says, and there cried, it says, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha. Now, can I say these certain sons of the prophets, oftentimes the sons of the prophets that were sort of like preachers in training, what they would do is they would follow different men of God around to be able to receive more training, to be able to receive more insight as to what the scriptures are teaching and how to be able to function and things of that nature. So this is one of the sons of the prophets, okay? He has been there. He's been, no doubt, following Elisha around. And because of that, he knew Elisha well, and no doubt Elisha knew him well. So when this tragedy happened in her life, what took place is she went to that one that her husband was close to, that knew the scriptures, and said, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take, it says, unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Now, how tragic is that? How tragic that this man that was in the ministry did not prepare for that which was inevitable, that one day he would die. Now his wife is left with nothing. Now all of a sudden his wife has to go and try to figure out, what do I do to pay the creditors? What do I do to be able to pay this enormous bill or bills that I have? And so she didn't know what to do. Back then, again, what they would do is they would liquidate all of the possessions that was in the home. Might be a sofa, might be a chair, it might be something like that. But after they could not pay the bill, perhaps after liquidating everything that was in the house, what they would do is they would have to be able to give their children to be bond people to be able to pay or work off the indebtedness that was there. Now, this was a time when men would rise up, and those that had the call of God on their life and was sincere about it, they would always seek to be able to be close to that one that could help them go further. Matter of fact, the Bible says over in Psalm 50 and verse 15, the Bible says, call unto me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, that thou shalt glorify me. And so men of God back then are like men of God today. And that is, when you have personal trouble or you have personal struggles in your life, we try to advise you to be able to turn to the Lord, to be able to get with the Lord, and to be able to allow the Lord to help you with the personal emptiness that you have in your life. And so here's what we see. What we see in our scriptures is simply this. How do you fulfill your emptiness? Statement number one, realize you're not alone. She also faced emptiness in her life. Statement number two, she was empty in her house. So not just empty in her life, she was empty in her house. The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 4 and in verse 2, and Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? Now, this is very good, because can I tell you, most of the time when you go through turbulent times in your own life, here's what God tries to remind us. I've already given you some principles. I've already given you knowledge. I've already given you possessions inside of your own house most of the time to take care of troubling matters. And so the Bible says here that Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? He couldn't read her mind. The Bible says, tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. So at least now she's recognizing, oh, I do have something in the house. Might not be much, but little is much. By the way, can I remind you, if God is in it, you'd be amazed how you could take your little faith and put it in God and how God can help you, all right? And so we see that she answers it honestly. She says, look, I don't have anything in the house. And don't forget, she is facing a desperate time in her life. She just don't know what to do. I mean, here these creditors are knocking at the door. These creditors are saying, hey, we're coming so that you can pay us. She's looking around. She's not looking at the pot of oil to be able to pay the creditors. She's not looking at that. No, her mindset is on the debt. Her mindset is that she's about to lose her two sons. It's going to be sold into bondage. And so what takes place is now she's not focusing on what she has to be able to meet the need that she has with that emptiness in her life. No, she is focusing only on the emptiness. When God said, hey, I've got something for you in the house that can help you with your emptiness. You know, isn't it neat how God uses little things? Isn't it neat? If you remember, there was a young man that just had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. In other words, he had 5 biscuits, if you will, and 2 small fishes. But yet, the Lord summons that lad. And because he gave to the Lord, God was able to take just that amount of loaves, just 5 and 2 small fishes, multiply it, and fed over 5,000. You say, how can God do that? That's God. That's God. If you remember the story, if you would, of Moses. Moses had a rod. Moses had the rod, and God used Moses in that rod as an example of his power to bring the plagues of Egypt. But at the very same time, he used that rod, and God used that rod as a display of his power to be able to part the Red Sea. He used that rod to be able to bring water out of the rock, if you will. You remember Samson. Samson took the jawbone of an ass and he killed 1,000 Philistines that was the enemies of Israel at that time. You'd be amazed that if you go through turbulent times or troubles in your personal life, you'd be amazed how God can take just a little thing and be able to use that in a great fashion to be able to encourage you, to be able to strengthen you. And by the way, sometimes it's just a word. Sometimes it's just an encouragement. You think about young Elisha at that time. He didn't know a lot, but Elisha did know that he was supposed to trust in the Lord. Elisha did know that he was supposed to point others to trust in the Lord. Elisha did know that by following that older Elijah around, he knew what to do in time of despair. He knew what to do in time of agony. He knew what to do in time of desperation. And so his answer to this woman that came to him in great desperation was very simple. It was almost like it was, if you would please, a knee-jerk type of decision or a spontaneous type of decision or something that was just an easy reaction. Why? Because he knew what God could do with somebody that was suffering emptiness in their life. And so here's what we see. We see a very empty woman. We see that she was empty in her personal life. Just lost her husband. Now her 2 children perhaps are going to lose. Already cleaned out the house. No doubt had sold all this so that she'd be able to pay the creditor. So here's a lady that's empty in her life. No doubt she was also empty in her house. But then you see this. Look at 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 3. The Bible says, then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. Empty vessels, borrow not a few. So now wait a minute. Did you know that our emptiness should cause us not to look inward, but to look outward? Did you notice what he told her to do? He said, I want you to go. And by the way, God always sends to you, just like he sent to her to be able to find more emptiness. You know, sometimes here's what we do. We look at our inward problems. We look at our inward emptiness, and we have the inward focus only. But did you know the hurts that you go through today, other people are suffering the same hurt? Did you know the challenges that you go through today, other people are suffering the same challenges? Oh, you said, but preacher, I'm old and I'm having rheumatoid arthritis. You know, you're not the only old person on planet Earth. Oh, but preacher, you don't understand. I'm going through a job situation, perhaps a job change. You know, you're not the only person that's going through a job change. Oh, but preacher, do you understand that I'm facing this calamity in my life and I just don't know what to do? Don't forget, God is still alive. Don't forget, God still answers prayer. Don't forget, the same God that delivered all the Old Testament saints when they had personal trials and all the New Testament saints when they had personal trials is still the same God today that can deliver you when you have a personal trial. And so in our Bible, we're encouraged here. Here's a lady, and we look at her and say, wow, she has an empty life. She lost her husband, about to lose her children. She has an empty house, no doubt cleaned the entire house out, trying to liquidate everything in order to pay the creditors. And now here God sends Elisha to her to be able to give her an answer. And what is his answer to her? Go borrow, it says, the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, empty vessels, borrow not a few. So he's saying to this woman, I know that you're empty, but here's a way to help you with your emptiness. Go find more emptiness. In other words, go find somebody else that has more of an emptiness than you do. Go find somebody else that's having more of a trial, more of a struggle than you do. Somebody said for that person that complains that they have no shoes, maybe you ought to be grateful that you have feet. Somebody says for that person that's always complaining because they live in an apartment or they live in a trailer, maybe you ought to be thankful that you have a place to live. Somebody says for that person that's always complaining about their vehicle that sometimes the air goes out or maybe the heat goes out. Oh, maybe you ought to be thankful that God's given you a vehicle and you don't have to walk. Amen. You know, there's a lot to be thankful for in our day. You don't have to be somebody extra brilliant to be able to figure out that God has been really good to you. You live in a place, you have a house over your head. You live in a place and you got a vehicle to drive. You live in a place and you're able to have clothes to wear and food to eat. You have friends and neighbors that care for you and love you and try to be there for you. Can I tell you, God has been very, very good to us. And that's what Elisha is trying to help this dear woman see. He's simply bringing to her attention, listen, there is something that you have in your presence that you're not looking at, that you're not even considering, that God could use to be able to bring the blessing back into your house. And sometimes it is the very little things. Sometimes it's a little note that somebody gave you of appreciation. Sometimes it's a text message that somebody gave you of encouragement. Sometimes it's a phone call that somebody made to you just to say, I appreciate you and I love you and I'm praying for you. Sometimes it's somebody shaking your hand and getting to know you and, glad that you're visiting with us. How'd you hear about us? Which I try to do with all the different visitors that come and just being able to get to know them. You say, why do you do that, preacher? Well, you know, years ago we had a guy that joined our church and he said this. He said, you know the reason that I have joined your church? And I said, no. He said, it's because all the time that I was visiting, you personally came by and shook my hand. He said, I have visited many churches much bigger than this church. And he said, the pastor never one time shook my hand, never one time smiled, never one time asked how I was doing. And can I tell you, sometimes it's good just to be friendly to people. Here's this lady, she is now empty in her life. Here's this lady, she is empty in her house. She goes to that which is Elisha, the man of God that all the younger men of God was lining up behind and trying to learn from. And God sends her out to be able to find other emptiness in her life. Now, what's that going to do? That's going to help her stop looking inward and feeling sorry for herself. That's going to help her to put her eyes out there outside. Hey, by the way, did you ever do this? Did you ever? Because I do a lot of desk work and I do a lot of studying and sermon preparation and counseling people and et cetera. And can I tell you that sometimes I just need to take a break? Sometimes it's just good to get up and go outside and breathe. You know, or in my case, go outside, breathe, and get a cup of coffee. You know, I mean, sometimes it's just good to be able to go. Yesterday, we was out door knocking, and a lot of people came out yesterday for our door knocking time to be able to go out and invite people to church. And as we gathered in here yesterday for our soul winning rally, and we were encouraged and challenged, and we went out in the neighborhoods and knocked doors and invited people to come to church. Man, I came across person after person after person yesterday. wonderful. I mean, and people just, wow, you know, thank you so much for coming by, and thank you for knocking at the door, and thank you so much for all you. Now, can I tell you, just getting out and realizing that God has given us wonderful people that is around to be able to love and to be able to reach and to be able to encourage and to be able to be there for them in their personal life. So they have needs too. Now, can I say this? I'm saying that she was empty in her life. She was empty in her house. She was sent by that which is the man of God. Yea, God used that man to be able to send her out to find more emptiness. Statement number next. Inside the emptiness of others, God gave her provision. Inside the emptiness of others, God, I remember visiting Mrs. McNair. Mrs. McNair was, of course, a lady that I pastored years ago up in Tennessee, and I never will forget it. She had some heart challenges, and an older lady, and I visited her in the hospital, and here's what she said. First thing she said when I walked in the hospital is she said, "Preacher, what are you doing here? Don't you have more important people to see?" And I said, "No, Mrs. McNair, you're important to us." You know, and she would just say words of encouragement to me as I was a young pastor back then. And it was not me going in looking for encouragement. But can I tell you, by the time I left, I was greatly encouraged. Mrs. Stead was in the hospital, of course, in rehab and stuff like that. And we love Mrs. Stead, one of our deacon's wives. And I kidded with her because they've been having their house remodeled. And so I told Mrs. Stead, I said, when you get out of the hospital, you're going to love that kitchen. It is purple. And she looked at me. She said, "Preacher, they painted my kitchen purple?" I said, "Man, but it's a beautiful, bright, fluorescent purple." And she said, "Preacher." I said, "No, Mrs. Stead, I'm just kidding." She said, "Oh, I'm so thankful for that." You know, and so, but you know, just the attitude, and she's been in the hospital and surgery after surgery and complication after complication, but that dear woman never has, I believe, a down day. I mean, she's always on top side. She is always trying to serve the Lord. She's always trying to encourage those that come in to visit her. I'm saying this. I'm saying that this lady, as we talk about her today in the Bible, she was empty in her life. She had an empty house. God sends her out to find more emptiness. Then you'll see that inside the emptiness, God provides the solution. Look at it. 2 Kings chapter 4 and in verse 3, the Bible says, "And he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, empty vessels, not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." Look at verse 5. "And she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons." And I think this is so neat because God was speaking to her. God didn't say this through that man of God to her and the children or these two sons. Didn't do that. Here's what God did. God was speaking to her, but she wasn't selfish about the blessing. She wanted her children to be a part of answered prayer. She wanted her children to be a part of what God was going to do. She wanted her children to see how God was going to provide. And so many times, here's what we do. We want our children only to see the best side of Christianity, and we want our children only to understand the characters of the Bible and how God works in marvelous ways. But can I tell you, when we were in evangelism, we traveled as a family for 12 years on the road. And in traveling for as a family for 12 years on the road, we preach in big churches and we preach in small churches, and the small churches were not able to give us large offerings. The small churches were not able to provide a nice hotel for us to stay in. The small churches were not able to take us out to fine dining. But you know, my children, and as Sylvie and I would pray that God would allow them to be able to see a balance in the ministry. And as our children begin to see that, you know, they became thankful for French fries. They became thankful for little things. I remember when we first went into evangelism that we would try to serve churches and we wound up sleeping on nursery floors. That was good for our kids. I remember sleeping in classrooms with their sleeping bags. Hey, that was good for our kids. It was good for them to taste the sacrifice. So as we stayed in it, we started preaching in bigger churches and conferences and doing overseas work and stuff like that. They could appreciate how they got there. Hello. Can I say this morning, that here this lady is, and she is going through a tremendously hard time, but the man of God is saying, look, go out there and borrow of thy neighbor's empty vessels, not a few, bring them in, and have thy sons to bring them. Shut the door once you bring them in. And he says in verse 4 of chapter 4 of 2 Kings, the Bible says, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. In verse 5, the Bible says, and she went from him, and she shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought, it says, the vessels to her, and she poured out. Look at verse 6. The Bible says, and it came to pass when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, bring me, it says, yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there's not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Okay, here's a principle. You're hurting on the inside about something, and you go to somebody else that's hurting, and you help them, and you love them. And then you go to somebody else that's hurting, and you help them, and you love them. And then you go to somebody else that's hurting, and you help them, and you love them. And what takes place is your hurt begins to diminish because you're helping others that are facing emptiness. The Bible says in verse 7, the Bible says, and she came and she told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay thy debt. Of course, we as believers know that the first debt that we owe is the tithe that's supposed to be given. And the Bible says, and pay thy debt and live thou and thy children, the Bible says, of the rest. So go, sell all the oil that you got. Now, wait a minute. She started off with nothing, but she started off with that which is just empty. Then all of a sudden, the creditor's getting ready to come and say, hey, listen, you don't have anything to pay the bill. We just got to get you to give your children that they can be bondmen. She didn't want to do that. So she ran to get some wisdom. And when she ran to get some wisdom, the man of God that she went to said, now, wait a minute, what is in your house? You've got something in your house that I could use to be able to bring you the blessing. So have that look, if you will, please, of what is it that God could use? What is the principle that you have learned? What is it that is a life experience that you can draw from? How did God bless you before? Let me give you some observations and I'm done. You know, how is it that you can get involved in overcoming emptiness? See your emptiness as a way to help someone else that has emptiness. See your emptiness as a way to help someone else that has emptiness. Realize that you're not the only one that has a problem. Others have problems too. Visit people that have the same type of problem, and that will help them to be able to see what God can do as well. The problems that you have is a greater provision for a personal miracle that God can do for you. God will always use different ones in your life to point you to biblical solutions. Most of the time, trying to find a biblical solution on your own, if you're not familiar with biblical solutions, here's what happens. You'll wind up discouraged, not knowing what to do. Can I say this? Never forget that God is always bigger than your problem. Always allow God to be able to provide a biblical solution. Then when God provides that biblical solution, then all of a sudden, when God begins to work, here's what we understand. Now you can tell everybody about it. Now you can tell, look what God did. When I was in Bible college, way back in the 1980s, I remember when I went to Bible college, I didn't have a vehicle. Some of you have heard this illustration before, but it's worthy to hear again. I didn't have a vehicle, and I prayed. Oh, did I pray? I held two jobs down. I worked at UPS, and then Later on, of course, the other job I had, I was working in a meat factory and washing out those big old grinders at night. We went in at 12 midnight, and we'd cut those things off and climb up those big grinders and, you know, soap and water and wash them out. Oh, I was so tired, and I'd show up at my 7 o'clock class, and oh, my, oh, the 7 o'clock classes that they offered, Greek and Hebrew at 7 o'clock in the morning. Who wants to learn another language at 7 o'clock in the morning? Oh, terrible. But I remember those days of sacrifice. And I remember not having a vehicle. And I prayed. And I said, "Dear Lord, I'm doing my very best. Could you please give me the vehicle?" You remember the story? Man, could you please give me a vehicle? And he did. He gave me a vehicle. I drove that and drove that and drove that. And all of a sudden, about 6 months later, the motor burned up. Well, I was a college kid. I didn't have any money. So I sold it for scrap. I prayed again. I said, "Dear God, would you please give me a vehicle and a motor that will not burn up?" I learned that what you ask, you just might get. God gave me a vehicle. The motor was sound. I drove that for about 8 months to a year, and the transmission went out. And I said, "God, I'm a college student. I don't have money for a transmission." "Oh, but I'm learning." You learn as you grow. I'm learning. I begin to pray. I said, "God, would you give me another vehicle?" I said, I promise you, God, I'll take good care of it. But God, would you give me a vehicle that the motor works, and would you give me a vehicle that the transmission will not go out?" He did. He gave me a vehicle, and I drove it for about a year. And all of a sudden, it came time to stop at a stop sign. And I went to put on the brakes, and the brake pedal had propelled up underneath the steering column. And I couldn't find the brake. That's not a good thing at a stop sign. Went through the stop sign, hit a car broadside, bounced off of the car, went into somebody's front yard, tore out their fence, and I climbed their tree. That was not a good experience. And so I went back to the Lord. And I said, "Lord, you know, I went to Bible college 4 years to get my degree there. Then I finished up later with a master's degree and the doctorate and all that. But 4 years that I was in Bible college to get my BS, I prayed and I prayed. And God gave me four cars when I was in Bible college. But I was learning as I was growing. Boy, the motor blew up, and so I prayed, "Dear God, give me a car with a motor," and he did, and with a good motor, and he did, and then then the transmission went out, and so next time I prayed, "Dear God, please," and the next time that went out, of course, and I prayed for another car, I said, "And God, brakes. Oh, we need brakes. Do we badly need brakes? God, would you please, please give me a car where the brakes are just absolutely fantastic?" And he did. The motor worked, the transmission worked, the brakes worked, and it was the ugliest car you ever saw in your life. I mean, we drove that even to the point that we drove that. I think we took that one to New York, didn't we? Yeah, we drove that even to New York City as we served in New York City after I graduated in Brooklyn there. And we drove it, and it lasted us for years, but you could always tell how ugly it was. But I didn't really care, because after all, God was answering my prayer at that time. Can I say this? Can I say, here's a lady that was empty in her life. Here was a lady had an empty house. Here's a lady that God said, "What you need to do to help you with your own emptiness is go find somebody else," or if you would please, "other emptiness." And then he was telling her also that inside that emptiness, I'm going to provide for you. And he did. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 7, the Bible says, "And then she came and she told the man of God, and he said, 'Go sell,'" it says, "the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou," and watch this, "live thou and thy children of the rest." And you know what that tells me? That tells me that God can provide for you. No matter what you're facing, no matter what comes down the pike to meet you, God can always provide for you. Because we have a very good God. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, please.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.